This is the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, Series 5, Episode 5, The New Numbers Game. Coming up on this week's Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show, we find the new ways to measure 2020 success, and we go ahead round some pretty complicated stats, so get your maths head on. We also talk about how to get from 120 to 140 kilometres an hour and what to do if you're a spin bowler who thinks he bowls a little bit too slow. All that and more coming up on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. It's time for the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. We're back again. My name's David Hinchliffe and I'm looking after things today. And joining me, got a couple of experts from the world of cricket, people with auspicious job titles to go with their knowledge and information. The first of which, the man who joins me every week, it's Director of Cricket Coaching at Millfield School, Mark Garraway. Welcome, Garras.
Hello, fella. You all right?
I am exceptional at the moment, enjoying my new iPad, which is, you know, which is both a toy and a tool. And you don't see that very often, do you?
Well, it's all good, mate. And I'm sure your Angry Birds is coming on really well.
No, it's all about the Flappy Birds.
Oh, Flappy Birds. I see I'm behind the times already.
And also joining me is Sam Lavery. He is cricket professional at Portsmouth Grammar School. Welcome, Sam. Welcome, Lavers.
Morning. How are we?
We are going to be having you on the show a lot more often now. We've enjoyed your contribution so far, so you've got a promotion. Well done.
Fantastic. And have you got a top score yet on there, Flappy Birds?
Oh, in all honesty, I had a couple of goes on my friend's iPad version of it, and I got about three. And then I thought, this is far too much of a time waster and far too annoying. So I put it down and went to do other things. But let's forget about iPads and Flappy Birds and Angry Birds, and let's talk about some things that are happening in the world of cricket. And I was thinking about this today, what with the IPL auction going on. I was thinking about how we measure the success of things in 2020 cricket, because of course we've always looked at a broad measurement of success in Test cricket, a certain type of batting average, a certain type of bowling average, a certain type of bowling strike rate. But those numbers are all out the window when it comes to 2020. But what are the indicators of someone who's doing well and someone who's doing not so well when it comes to cricket performance these days? What are the stats that we have to look at nowadays?
Well, I think you've got your basic stats, which are probably the ones that we're going to view as viewers. So you look at your strike rates, but the one that's probably coming into the game as a viewer is runs per scoring shot. So, which is really measuring the quality of the contact in T20. And obviously, boundaries come into play much more prevalently in that form of cricket than it does in the longer formats that we play.
Okay, well, let's think about that a little bit more. What kind of numbers are we talking about there? For a good,
well,
someone who's,
I mean,
doing well.
Obviously you can go between 0 and 6, can't you? Runs per scoring shot. So somebody who's
6 would be good.
He's going all right, isn't he? You know, that'd be a fairly good career, and I should imagine he'd have a few noughts on the end of his IPL auction if he could do that. But obviously, the higher you get towards that, the better. And whereas in something like 50-over cricket, we look at scoring ball percentage. So how many balls can we, out of 100, can we score off of? This is more about, you know, how many boundaries and what the quality of the contact is like. So somebody whose runs per scoring shot is approaching 3 is pretty strong, really.
That does sound pretty good. If you're up near the 3 area, I think that's going to be good numbers, specifically if you're managing to face 30 or 40 balls in an innings, then you're going to do pretty well. I do the flip side of that in the scoring shots that are conceded by the bowlers as well. And when we're conceding boundaries, where are we conceding boundaries? So I've got trends throughout last season of where certain bowlers concede boundaries, is it, whether it's a cut or it's an over pitch ball, and at what stage in their innings do they do that? I mean, you'll often see that some guys drag the ball down as they get tired. And
well, Sam, I'm down in your neck of the woods soon, doing something along those lines at the Hampshire Coaches Association, so the HCBCA conference, which I I believe is in March, and I'm going to do a little 45-minute stint on some of the types of stats and some of the, not just the stats, but also the way that they're presented into the IPL teams. So that'll be interesting for anybody around that area, or is an HCBCA, which I know a lot of our listeners are a member, then get yourself along there, and our boys census 45 minutes on that.
And what do you use to gather that data and then analyze it and put it together? What's kind of the flow of information there?
Yeah, I use a big company up in London to do all of the number crunching for me, and I interpret it.
Oh, lovely.
And the key to any flat data is to convert it into something that your players will be able to work with, understand, and actually be able to use. And that's where your visual stuff comes in, and that can be in place of some graphs or some different flow charts or whatever that demonstrates it. But the flat data will come from the analysts, but you can still use your scorer to give you some really good information. As we talked about in the past, some of these apps that are available now that people use, and I'm sure Sam can build on that in a second, can give you some great information that provide you with those flat stats. And then as coaches, it's down to us to interpret and present to our players, because that's our role.
Well, we're not all as fancy as Mark Garraway with his highfalutin stuff. So, Lavers, how do you do it?
My method's probably a little bit more traditional. I do a lot of work on an Excel spreadsheet on an iPad and try and record each. I generally do scoring shots myself just while I'm watching the game. So I'm trying to do this whilst I'm doing other things at the same time. But I try and get into the routine of recording where a shot has been scored.
And is that just on a spreadsheet, is it? Or do you use an app for that?
No, I just do that on a spreadsheet.
Right.
If it's a dot ball, if it's a one or a two, I block together. And then if it's three or above, because a three is as good as a boundary in terms of delivery that's been bowled for me, I'll then record what ball of the over it is. And I'll also look at the type of shot that's been played, whether it's straight or wide, short, full or short. I've got that in a spreadsheet then, and can then start to look at what number of balls are going for. What ball in the over is going for how many runs. So if it's closing out the over that's the issue, with balls five and six that are going for threes, fours, etc., then maybe that's something we can look at. And it's something you don't need anything particular, particularly advanced in terms of statistical experience, I would have said, to get some ideas from it. But it works okay.
So going back to the numbers that we're looking at, so that's, we're talking about some quite detailed analysis there. It can be done in a relatively quick amount of time if you get used to the way of doing it. But then what you're looking at the end of it is runs per scoring shot, and that's both as a batsman how you're scoring, as a bowler what you're conceding, right?
Yeah.
And then you're looking around the three mark for below three as a bowler and above three as a batsman.
Well, I don't think you can look at it that in the IPL. We've looked at things, and that's the sort of stuff that's coming out of it. But,
right.
But then, you know, stats are only relevant within your own environments, really. So what I would do is I'd run some analysis over the type of cricket that you've played, and you can do that retrospectively, or you could collect all that information over the course of the next season, and then work out what the relevant trends are within your cricket. Because it's really easy to look at, say, the international game and the IPL, and to establish some trends from that, and then try and superimpose them onto your own environments, and they could be completely, you know, alien to the environments in which you play. The best way of doing any analysis is to analyse what you're going to be playing, and then working out from there. So that, from the IPL's perspective, runs per scoring shot's really, really quite important. So the quality of the ball strike from a batting point of view, and the deception which leads to ball strikes being not as productive as a bowler, really. And those are the two things in there. But that might not be what is important when Portsmouth Grammar School play against Millfield School in May in the 2020 competition. You know, only you can work that out. But you've got to make it work, as Sam has suggested to you, with a methodology that he's developed for himself, is something that works for you, and that's crucial, and works for the environment in which you're coaching within.
Okay, sure. So it's a matter of working out the specifics for yourself, especially something like the IPL, where the performances are going to be very different. So it's a matter of working out for yourself and doing a bit of digging around and finding out as much as you can from previous information.
You know, absolutely. So if Sam and me are playing a game with under 13s, then obviously, you know, some of the runs per scoring shot stats are likely to be affected by physical maturity as much as anything else. You know, and the sizes of pitches and all of that sort of thing. But if you've got consistency across, you'll establish your own performance indicators that are relevant for that game within the environment that you play.
I think also it's gonna change across the individual concerned and the role they're playing in the game. Obviously, if you're an early innings bowler, you're in a different situation. So your runs per scoring shot is clearly slightly different to someone who's bowling through the middle of the innings when the field's spread.
It could be that something like scoring ball percentage becomes really, really important for the lower end, i.e., are they hitting the ball a lot? And secondly, are they making contacts enough that means that they score off, say, 70% towards the back end of an innings of balls that they face? So that becomes more relevant than maybe runs per scoring shot in that context.
All those are for batsmen. What about the equivalent statistics for bowlers? I mean, runs per scoring shot probably still counts for bowlers, but what other stats are you looking at for bowlers, especially in those limited over situations?
Quality of contacts are really important. So this is where deception comes in, doesn't it? You know, whether it be, and I don't just mean slower balls, I mean variations in length, variations in lateral movement, variations in angle can all create some deception. So you could do something as simple as having a marking system for each contact. So if you're a bowler, your aim is to get the marking system to operate down in the lower echelons of it. And as a batter, it's for higher echelons. So we could go naught to miss, edge is one, decent contact is two, exceptional contact three, and you can measure overs based on that. And that's something that I know a number of clubs that I've been advising have operated with, particularly in the last five overs of any game of cricket. So 50 over or 20 over cricket, they've been operating it solely in that with the intention of building some stats that they can then put into their practice environments as well. So if you've got, say, an over, for example, you've got a maximum of 18 or a minimum of naught, and you can have a little game around that, both in matches and in practice.
Okay, my head is now spinning. So what we'll do is we'll put some of these things down on the show notes for this week's show, so people have got something easy to refer to, so they can get their head a little bit more around the type of numbers that they want to be gathering and analysing if that's the road that they want to go down. And I think increasingly it's becoming an important thing for people. But let's move on to the yes no round, which is of course three questions that can only be answered yes or no, no matter how much more we want to say. We've got Garrers and Lavers in the chair, and I'll be reading the questions. So when you're ready, gents, let's go. First question: IPL is more box office than bilateral T20 international series?
Yes.
Yes.
Second question: real bowling is better than bowling machines?
Yes.
Yes.
Third question: medicine balls are an indispensable tool for bowlers?
No.
Yes.
Okay, it's time for a new feature on the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Very exciting, because those who have been listening to the show for a little while now can remember a certain man called Berners. Now, Berners has been a regular on the show, but his work has taken him around the world, which means he's been less and less likely to be able to come onto the show, and we haven't been able to speak to him for a while. So what we've decided to do is we've sent him off with a microphone, and he can grab people to interview them, and he can be our roving reporter wherever he is in the world. And where he is in the world at the moment is he's just popped down to Pretoria for the opening of the new High Performance Centre at Cricket South Africa. So let's find out what's happening with Berner's roving report this week.
I'm just reporting here from South Africa at the moment, down in Pretoria with the new HPC with Cricket South Africa, and I'm joined with Charlie, who's the Momentum Proteus Ladies manager, and a couple of the girls have just had a quick bowl on the system. Charlie, what do you make of it?
Well, it's actually very interesting, to be honest, and it's nice to see that there is technology available like this, and that it will be actually available for our players. players that bowled found it quite interesting to see their line, their length, their speed, and actually having a visual on their own bowling, so they know what's happening with their bodies and their alignments for the biomechanics. I mean, the coach would be very impressed with this as well, to see where the fatigue is falling, what's happening, you know, late in the innings after so many balls, as fitness as well. Fitness staff, they will also love this for that reason, that you want to see how fit the players are after so many balls. Be interesting to see it as with the batters as well. And I think it's quite an educational tool that can be used quite well.
Great. And you're here, you're in a camp at the moment here at the HPC in Pretoria, building for the World Cup in Bangladesh?
Yes, we're here with a bit of our plenary squad. We haven't selected our squad as yet. So we just had quite a tough weekend where the girls were, you know, went through all the paces, fitness, batting, bowling. We had a middle session, all everything in preparation for the World Cup.
Brilliant. Well, best of luck out there.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Charlie.
Thank you very much, Berners, and hopefully we'll catch up with you again next week when you've got some more exciting and interesting stuff for us. But now let's head to the questions section. Now, the first question is from Nathan this week, and Nathan says, I'm a passionate cricketer who's looking to bowl at 140 kilometres an hour. That's going some. Now I'm bowling around 120. Would I be able to achieve my aim? Does pace come to an individual naturally, or can they improve themselves? I'm ready to do any hard work for my aim. So this is kind of a common question, you know, can I bowl faster? How much is it a natural thing? And how much is it, can you improve? Where do you see that balance, Gareth?
Well, we're beginning to work out that there's some key performance indicators of elite fast bowlers and extreme pace. So that's people that bowl over 85 or 90 miles an hour. There's some things that sort of bind them together, really. I won't list them all, but one of the ones that does come into play is a fast approach. So generally they run in with good momentum. So if that's something you're not doing, then that might be something you want to work on. The second thing that they do is most of those bowlers, if not all of them, have a heel strike when they hit that front crease. And the reason why they do that, which I've written about before, is pretty much about the tram effect. So that's increasing time, range, area and mass across the range of your foot plate, which means that you can push a force into the ground and then receive the equal but opposite force, opposite being coming back up the leg most effectively, and transfer that up through the kinetic chain and into the ball most efficiently. So that's something that they have, is a heel strike through the full range of their movement on their front foot. And what that enables them to do is to maintain either a slightly flexed leg that goes into a brace leg, or a bit like an Alan Donald, somebody who bowled completely with a brace leg. And again, that means that momentum can transfer from the ground up through the leg into the hips and then into the shoulders and then into the arms and into the balls most efficiently. So there's three of the things already. So run up fast, land with your heel, and then monitor by getting some side-on footage, either on a mobile phone or on a camera from the side. A friend of yours can video that, and just see what the dynamics of your front leg, in particular around the knee, is doing, and work on the heel contact and staying more upright over the top of that front leg, and that will help you transfer momentum up the body. If you get that bit right, you're a third of the way, or maybe even more, towards bowling towards 140. So I could go through the other four or five things, but I'm going to give you that for now and pass it on.
So, Lavis, that's the technical side of it. I know that you are a strength and conditioning man, among other things. So what would you look at as the key components of a strength and conditioning program to help a bowler increase their pace?
Mainly we're looking at strength and power. So strength from a point of view of developing a strong base that we can build upon. So strong legs, strong glutes, strong back, which are a really solid base for us to actually work on, and from there it's a lot of power exercises as we went back through to our yes no round there, the medicine ball, utilizing a medicine ball in various different ways to try and develop that power and that explosive movement is again really, really useful in developing speed. I think whether it's a technical point of view or a strength and conditioning point of view, the key to both is the mentality, which is something Gareth touched on straight at the beginning, really. Where he said he's willing to do any hard work to achieve what he wants to achieve, that's going to be the key. If he can get the information to train smartly as well as work hard, then I don't see why I should have the ceiling. Gareth said there, why should the ceiling be 140? If you're willing to commit to it, putting the physical work as well as the technical work, then there's a lot that can be achieved.
Good luck, Nathan. Let's move on to the next question. And this one's to do with speed as well, but it's speed of a spinner. This question is from Bibhuti, and he says, I'm an off spinner. How can I gain speed as my speed is slow?
There are a few simple things we can do really to add speed as a spinner. The first thing that's quite simple is we're looking to direct our momentum. So simply looking at our angle of approach to start with can help us with transferring momentum from our approach into our jump and then subsequently into our delivery. So just a little bit of consideration for alignment is one simple way to develop a little bit more speed.
Straighter, you mean?
Straighter. Generally, when we're bowling spin, a lot of orthodox spinners will look to adopt a side on position, and the majority of the time that will either be done from a run up, which could be on an angle, or a transition in the air where they're going from front on in their approach to side on in landing. The more you can do that from a straight approach and transfer from front on towards a side on action in the air, the more forwards momentum you're obviously taking towards your target. That ties in quite closely as well with how you can control your length. So often you'll find the faster a bowler's arm is, maybe because of a lack of momentum they've got in their approach or the lack of use of their body when they're actually bowling, the faster their arm is, the more they struggle with their control of length as well. So rather than just saying simply speed up your arm and try and bowl it quicker, we would look for other ways such as improving your alignment. Obviously, you can also think about increasing the pace, your speed in your approach, or maybe being a bit more dynamic into your jump and trying to drive your arms into your jump, which is something that a lot of people won't do. I think you see a lot of spinners around who have two hands on the ball throughout their run-up, and from that position they can't really get a big drive forwards into the jump or develop a great deal of energy or momentum. So using those arms and getting them back prior to takeoff and then driving them forwards into the jump is a really good way to develop that forwards momentum into jump and subsequently into the action and the speed of the delivery that comes from that.
He says his speed is slow, and what tells him that? So that's the crucial thing. Is that feedback from others? Is it feedback from themselves? Because a lot of bowlers are a bit slower in the air, aren't they? You know, we often see a lot of spinners bowling and some are slower than others. And to me, one of the tactics that we can use with slow bowlers is our field. Terry Jenner would always say that every bowler's got their optimal pace for maximum spin. And it might be that just your pace is a bit slower than others to get the ball to maximally spin. And if that's the case, then we can do things with your field to support your natural pace and your natural maximum spin rather than making you bowl faster, which could take the edge off of your bowling. So, you know, without seeing you, without speaking to you, without watching you in operation, it's really difficult for us to judge that. But I do see a lot of bowlers who get feedback that they're bowling it too slow. And the first thing they do is take away their edge rather than building on their strengths. And that would always be my starting point.
Right, stuff to work on there for people to think about and for us to head into the next section, which is, of course, this week's Pitch Vision Headlines with Daisy Cutter.
Thank you, guys. Hi, I'm Daisy Cutter, and this is the Pitch Vision News. Coaching with Pitch Vision has taken another step forward with the introduction of Snapshot feature to the video analysis system. You can now save a still image from any PB video clip and analyse players' techniques. It also allows you to annotate, draw lines and measure angles to highlight points. Marketing Director Neil Fairburn said this feature is perfect for fixing technical issues like head and back position. We will expect it to be especially useful for those one-to-one coaching sessions. Pitch Vision have been back at the Cricket South Africa High Performance Centre in Pretoria again this week. Listeners and Twitter followers know that the new venue is being fully equipped with Pitch Vision in every lane, including the cutting-edge shot tracking system going into an elite lane. CSA head analyst Hendrik Kurtzen said that the PV system is very helpful for a full range of players, especially our elite players, where we can look at very particular parts of their game. The launch of the new centre is now confirmed for the 10th of March, with more details on the big day. And finally, special mention goes to Pitch Vision Interactive user SMNMHG. The 19-year-old from England has raced up the charts with some awesome hitting on the Pitch Vision batting studio at Cricket Asylum and has a strike rate of 170.53 from 190 balls. Beat that, PVers! Check out his power hitting at Pitch Vision Interactive. That's pitchvision.com/interactive, which is the place where all performance uploads from all over the world are online. For more details on these stories, check out the show notes at pitchvision.com. That's the Pitch Vision news for this week. I've been Daisy Cutter, and now it's back to the panel.
Now, the pressure's on this week. Lovers has come on the show, and Garras has bailed out at the last minute. But don't worry, because we've got 60 seconds of pure cricket coaching excitement from Sam Lavery. Over to you, Sam, starting now.
Okay, well, what I wanted to talk about is just what I would deem playing the game. And that's not playing the game of cricket. That's playing the game almost within the game or around the game. And what that means is just doing simple things well to try and make yourself appear more appealing to a situation. So whether it's supporting your teammates better or presenting yourself more appropriately in a trial situation, just try and think about as much as you can how you can do things outside of your cricketing ability that are going to make you more successful in the role you're trying to play. So if you're at a trial, simple things, introducing yourself, shaking hands with the coach, little things like that make a big difference. If you're in a team scenario, always being the first person at training, always wearing the right kit, always supporting the people around you. Little things like that, which don't take a lot of energy, but if we can try and introduce them into our game, we should find that not only may we be more successful, but we may be looked on slightly more appreciatively by the person picking the team.
That's all we've got time for on the show this week. But before we go, just a couple of little housekeeping things that we need to do to see you off. And the first one of those, of course, is the winner of this week's prize, the online coaching course, courtesy of Pitch Vision Academy at pitchvision.com. And Gareth, we had a couple of good questions regarding pace. Nathan is a quick bowler. Vibhuti is a slow bowler, a spin bowler. Which question did you prefer about getting quicker?
I'm going to go with Nathan's this week because I think we've got a couple of courses that could help him that are already set up on our website. So I'm going to give Nathan the opportunity to go for one of the fast bowling courses, which might be the Ian Pont course, or it might be the Steph Jones strength and conditioning one, because we covered both areas. So yeah, Nathan's a winner this week.
Congratulations, Nathan, and you can select the best coaching course for your requirements, and we'll give that to you for absolutely nothing. That's the promise of the Pitch Vision Academy Cricket Show. Now, Gareth, if somebody wanted to get in touch with the show themselves, have their chance to win a prize, and also get their question answered, what would they need to do?
They could give us a call on 0203 239 7543 or drop us an email at coach@pitchvision.com.
That's right. You can also get in touch with us via Facebook, facebook.com/pitchvisionacademy, or you can tweet your question to us if it's a short one, 140 characters or less, to @pitchvisionacad, where I will pick that up and we can have a good conversation about cricket. I like Twitter for talking about different cricket and cricket coaching things. If you want to listen to this show every week, then you can head over to iTunes and you can do a search for Pitch Vision Academy. You'll find us in there. Click on the subscribe button. And if you don't want to use iTunes, you want to use something else instead, head over to pitchvision.com/academy and click on the podcast link for all the information on how to subscribe to this show. That's all for this week. We hope you listen next week. But until then, have a good week. Cheers, Gareth. Cheers, Lavers.
Cheers, fellas.
Cheers, David.